So today we are talking about how to create your own mastermind, your master class, a 5-day challenge, a summit, any of those things. It's any kind of a product where you're going to do an event. And we talked in the past all about how to create your event, what problem were you solving for your audience? And then once you find out what problem you want to solve, what platform are you going to use so that you can present whatever you're doing, your summit, your master class, your mastermind, such as what we're doing today. And we've chosen Zoom. And then we move on to how are you going to price it? Are you going to use this as a freebie at the top of your funnel to get folks to tap in, to get to know, like, and trust you? Or is this going to be one of your products that you're going to put, excuse me, in your library that you're going to actually charge for? And is it going to be your first base offer, your second base offer? Is it going to be your third base offer, which is your bread and butter? It's the thing that brings in the most income for your business. Or is this going to be your grand finale? Like maybe you do an annual summit, and that's the grand finale of all of your products. So it just depends on where you then want to place this in your funnel of products. But then once you decide that, then it's how are you going to market it? How are you going to get folks to know that you're actually having it? What event sites are you going to put it on? And we talked all about that. And then finally, once you have the actual event, the summit, the mastermind, the master class, once you have that, how are you going to test and measure how well you did, what it is that you want to change, where you're going to put those recordings that you did, how you're going to use those. And then, of course, you just get to tweak from there. You can have more than one. I have eight a month that I do. But you can have more than one. You can have different lanes. It's up to you how you put together your business. And for those of you that are on this call, many of you know that I also have another lane that I am in called How to Build a Better Business. And we talk about that. We talk about how to actually structure what your message is. And we don't get too much into your message in this particular call. This particular call is more about how to design a master class or mastermind and get it implemented and launched and get it out there. So we go through the John Maxwell book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And we've each taken a turn facilitating that particular material. And once we went through everyone that's in this program, we invited everyone to take their own material, create their own mastermind or master class or summit or challenge or whatever they want to do with it, and then practice on us. And so, Mason, what number is this for you? This is what, number three?
Number three.
Number three out of five. He's chosen to do a 5-session mastermind, and this is session number three. And so with that, I am going to turn it over to Mason. And Mason, bring us up to date on what we've done so far and introduce yourself and then go from there. And then when we finish at the other end, I want to make sure that everyone, or let's do that next before we jump over to Mason. Let's everybody just introduce ourselves and just give a snippet of what we do. And Linda, I'm going to start with you. Nope, you're on mute. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I was taking notes. Well, what I do is I am a teacher, coach, guide. I am the founder of a online course called The Legacy of Love Project, where I help people create their perfect end of life plan so that they can be a blessing to their loved ones instead of a burden. And I am planning a 5-day challenge coming up shortly, focusing on will your family have access to your digital assets if you pass away? So we'll have some exercises and try to stir up interest with that. That's what's coming next.
I love it. I love it. Yes. Samworth, how about you?
Yeah, right now I'm in the financial brokerage business in alternative lending.
Okay.
And I want to be able to teach something like an entrepreneurship and independent contractor type of theme.
Okay. Well, you're in the right place because
Okay.
I'm into real estate investing, and I actually have groups where I can, especially since you're in the Columbus area, I have groups I can get you launched. Yeah, got lots of connections there.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, Debbie, how about you? And you're on mute.
I am a author. I am working on becoming a speaker, and I am an entrepreneur where I work from home, and I represent Melaleuca. And I'm also, let's see, I'm a farmer. I have produce that's trying to come in. And then I also have a meetup on Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks on Meetup once a month. And I'm just enjoying. I'm enjoying everything right now. Can't really bring me down.
Good for you. For you. Yes, Debbie has an amazing podcast and she is posted on YouTube. So it's Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks. You can find her there and all of her replays. So again, I'm Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income coach and I have several lanes, and one of my lanes is real estate. I do long-term real estate and it's the six F's of real estate: how to find it, how to fund it, which is right up your alley, Samrith, how to fix it, and then finally how to flip it, how to fill it, and then what is your freedom number? How many of those do you have to do to make you that day job optional? And then from there we have a short-term rental, the ins and outs of opening a guest house, bed and breakfast, to VRBO, and of course folks, they are always looking for funding. And then I have a whole writer's lane all about blogging and then being an author. And then I have a networking lane all about networking and making connections. And then I have the entrepreneur, solopreneur lane, which is what we're in today. So, and it's how to build a better business and then how to create products for that business. And this one is how to create a mastermind, masterclass, or challenge. So, with all of that, we're now going to turn it over to Mason. So, Mason, bring us up to date and then share with us what you have for today.
So I am actually a logistics person by training, but actually I'm a writer, author. I've done leadership stuff. I've got a leadership book out there now, just a small handbook. Got some journals. I'm more into focusing on yourself, mindfulness, but just personal growth, if you will. My writing, this book is a book I started 20 years ago, and started off as a journal. And I want to get this done, but then my bigger passion is I'm writing. I like to write kids' stories. I've got multiple kids' stories in the works. I've just finished a fifth in a series of a story about my dog, believe it or not. So those are things I enjoy doing. So today, let's get started. I can find the right screen. Here we go. Come on. All right. Coming up. There we go. It's a little bit looks a little bit slow on my end. So my book is called The Forest, Awaken to Your Path, Discern Your Journey. This is meant as a guided analogy. How do we get to this point where we're at? Be quite honest, and I've said this before, about 20 years ago, I was working in a steel mill. Prior to that, I had been in the Air Force, Pentagon, Fortune 100 company, through different things and choices. I wound up working in a steel mill. And I woke up one day, it was probably the worst job I've ever had, rotating shift work, exhausted, in pain. And I literally woke up going, how did I get here? I mean, I could point it to you on a resume, but the experience versus the resume are two different things. And that's how this started as a journal for me. And it's evolved into how did I get here? So, and what we're going to do is we're going to break this thing down to some relatable pieces because I think something most of us can relate to, whether we want to or not. So this is for the person who doesn't know how they got here. You look back, you wonder, how did I get here? And when I see things around you, the goal is I like analogies. I like analogies to help me relate things. In this case, my analogy is of a forest. So we're going to break these things down, take a look at. So in the first session, we talked about when you realize this, what is the world around you? The fact is you're on a path which is a result of your actions or inactions. And the most dangerous thing is the meadows. These are stopping points along your way where either you're resting or stagnating. Stagnating happens all too often. We talked about understanding your story and what resources do you truly have within yourself? Most people don't recognize what they have within themselves for various reasons, the limiting beliefs. So I mentioned to Kathy before we started, this section, we're going to deal with just a dark force. This was actually the hardest one for me to write. This deals with some of the ugly stuff. So I'm going to pause. I don't know how much I'm going to call on people because I don't want to put anyone on the spot. But this deals with the stuff that we don't like to talk about. The stuff that, because of the pandemic, we talk about more. I'll put that in air quotes. We talk about that more. I don't know if we listen more. And I don't know if we're willing to accept it for ourselves. So I took this out of the book. The dark forest, this is where trees grow thick and dense. They intertwine. They're wrapping around you. They're getting so thick as you walk through, the light disappears. It gets dark. You may not see the next step. But if you take time to pause and look, there's always a light there, but it may be very, very dim. And that's what this is about. It's about that when you get to that section of life, and everyone will go through this. And you have no choice but to keep going through it. And it's up to you. Now we're going to pause right here. Every one of us, I would believe, has at some point where things seem to go out of control. Okay. Everyone has them. Oops. Hold on a second. Technology. Everyone has them. Okay. I'm pausing here for a second. I've met people who, nope, not me. But as I get to know them, yeah. You're just unable to articulate it, but you're feeling it. You're going through it. You've been through it. And it's different for everyone. It is. It's different because what are the events? It's different based on how you perceive it. It's different how others perceive it. I am trying to move my screen here. And I cannot, because I cannot see my own slide. Okay.
We see it.
Right, but the faces in there is blocking it for me.
Oh, yeah. You can move
the faces. Oh, there it is. They're gone now. Yay, they're all gone now.
Yeah, you can move the faces around if you want to.
I know. So that's what this is. Now, when I go through these times, I feel that I'm the only one and I'm by myself. But as I read more, I realize it doesn't matter when, it's not subject to now. These are, to me, the thoughts from the past, what I've titled it. Say again. I like these. I call these power thoughts because they let me know that other people are going through it. Seneca was back in Roman days. And he points it very well, says, we suffer more in imagination than in reality. I will ask here, are there any of these quotes or anything anybody can, something maybe you've leaned on, quote you keep in mind if you're into that, that when things get tough, you maybe pull that up as a source of strength?
Well, I can share a little bit, Mason. I like that first quote where it says we are more often frightened than hurt, and we suffer more in imagination than in reality. I remember in my early 30s, I became a single mom. My then husband had asked me for a divorce. He is an identical twin. And he, and if anybody knows anything about twins, we have any twins in the group? Twins have quite a connection with each other. And so what I discovered is that whatever the one twin did, the other twin normally wanted to do as well, because they actually are more connected emotionally than even a marital relationship. And so so when the first twin, my husband's twin brother, got a divorce, then my husband asked me for one, and I was like, what? And so I, you know, being a single mom, I was hurt, but I think the being frightened, you know, in my early 30s, probably was a better description, although I didn't maybe realize it at the time, because I just felt like, well, what do I do now? You know, I mean, where am I going to live, and how am I going to feed my daughter, and what am I going to do? And at the same time, my dad had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, so my mother had her hands full. So I didn't feel like I could really lean on her. And so I think that first quote really resonates with me today, that I didn't see it at the time. And again, talk about not being able to see the forest for the trees. At the time, I felt like I was incredibly hurt, but I think looking back, you know, hindsight's 20/20, I think I was probably more frightened. And, you know, I didn't know what to do or how to do it to get through that time. But then it says we suffer more in imagination than in reality. You know what? I got through it. I had a roof over my head. It may have not been the perfect place, but I made the choices that I could make with the information I had at the time and the finances I had at the time. And even though it was a struggle, I made it. And so I think in my imagination, I felt like my whole world was over, when in reality, it was just beginning.
That. Personally, I don't like the third quote because it's too darn true. No, it is for me. I'm just speaking for me. I want to change things the way I want them to be. And I have found that when I'm in my toughest times, I'm trying to change everything or everyone around me, when that's not the best answer. I need a little work. I don't like that quote because I like that quote, because I relate to that quote. Viktor Frankl is definitely somebody I want to listen to, but to me, that is, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the tougher ones, challenging to change ourselves.
I have a comment also. I actually love all of these quotes, but I was thinking about how when we're in a challenging situation, it's so easy to go straight to fear, straight to being stuck, straight to going to worst case scenarios and, oh, what if, and this is scary, you know, the fear and the overwhelm. And it reminded me of a quote from Mark Twain. It says, "I am an old man and have known a great many troubles, most of which never happened."
Yes, I've heard that quote. That is so true.
Mason?
Please.
I would like to comment. I understand what you're saying about quote number three, but I see it more as my past, changing my past, and I'm challenged to change myself. And that's what I've done now. But then The fourth one, you have power over your mind, not outside events. And you realize this and you will find strength. And I can relate to that one too, because it plays into my story, both of these quotes. So I find these, they're very interesting to me. And I agree with Linda. They're all great quotes. And you can almost, like Kathy did, choose the one that relates to you. And I like this. I'm glad you put it in, even though, you know, you were kind of hesitant, say, on the third one.
No. So first of all, and Samaritan, at the end, I'm going to ask for emails, because I do send out handouts, and I do have a handout which will have a series of power thoughts. It's a larger book, and it'll be related to this, because I do take a lot of strength from quotes, knowing other people have been through it. What I'm saying is, I don't like number three because I like number three. The problem with number four is, it is on me. I cannot blame Kathy. Can't blame Linda. Can't blame you. I gotta look in the mirror. And that sucks, because then guess what? It's on me. It is my fault, my responsibility to stay on this path or get off this path. Yeah. No one can make me do it. And for those of you who know me for a while, you know I'm very good at procrastination and stagnation. Okay? I'm admitting this. Okay? Samarith, I finished my book 2 years ago. It's not published yet. I can give you a list of excuses which sound valid, and they are valid, but the fact is they were excuses because of my own fears, my own issues. I'm just being honest here. And that is hard for me to accept. And when I started really accepting that, all of a sudden, that's when I started realizing that's where this course came from, you know, because, okay, I have to do something, you know. I have to change myself. I tell the story. These ladies have heard this. I went to the Air Force Academy, sir, and I have a classmate of mine. We were in freshman year together. And this classmate, we used to make fun of this person. I had nothing against this person. They never did anything against me, but it was just, you know, we're 18-year-olds with that ego, etc. I watched this person go. We start off the same point as lieutenants. I watched this person go from there, and in my arrogance of those days, thought I was so good, I watched this person rise to a 3-star general over the years. And when I first started writing this, I remember that I was like, wow, how is that happening? And I'm sitting here toughing it out in a steel mill. What is wrong with me? Hear that phrasing? What is wrong with me? It's not fair. It's not fair. Those were actually thoughts I had. You know what? I hadn't seen that person. In fact, I haven't seen that person since we graduated 30 some odd years ago. They probably couldn't identify me in a lineup. Okay? It had nothing to do with them. They were doing their own life. Had to do with me. And I'm sitting there and I'm literally doing this to myself. And it impacts all the loved ones around me. That's what this dark force does to you. You get yourself trapped. It is going to happen. And I wanted to blame someone. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was Kathy. You know, it was Debbie. No, it was me by not making a choice. I've known Kathy now for 6 and a half, almost 7 years. We started about the same time in the same groups, similar circles. And I've watched Kathy go from the very beginning to growing all these lanes. I am just now starting. I can give you a list of reasons and excuses, but that's all they are. That's why I talk about this, because this comes down to me and I don't like it. It sucks. It's not fair. It's hard. But you know what? World doesn't care. Forest doesn't care. Path doesn't care. Doesn't care how much you have or not. I can look at people who have more than me money-wise, money-wise, possession-wise. I think, wow, look at them. And I have done that. But then as I got to know them, I realized, wow, I would not want to be in their place. You know?
Well, I'd like to jump in and ask you the question. Wonder the person that you were watching that became the 3-star general, just wondering how their life turned out. Sometimes we have this visual. I can remember back in high school, you know, this one girl, she moved in our senior year and she was French and she was beautiful and all the boys loved her and all the girls loved her and all the teachers loved her. And I just felt so less than, you know, and I thought there's no way I can compete with this girl. Not that it was a competition, but when you're in high school,
there is a competition.
Of competition. And it was like, there's no way that anyone can compete with this girl. She's got it all. And fast forward, I had become a business owner in my 30s and 40s. And I ran into her again and her whole life had fallen apart. It was like, that was her peak, was her senior year in high school. The rest of her life just was less than mediocre at best. And so sometimes I think we hold on to a vision of someone that maybe isn't the true reality of the situation. And we always kind of beat ourselves up that we didn't attain that level when in fact they didn't either.
Right. And now this person, and I haven't talked to this person, like I said, since graduation. I know through class notes, but that's not the issue here. Okay? I wish this person well. I do. Mm-hmm. The point is, I was doing this to myself. I suffered more in imagination than reality. You know, we used to live in Centerville, Ohio. Okay. So Matthew, Centerville, lots of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was running a plant, taking care of my family. Wasn't doing all the vacations and all that kind of stuff. What's interesting is my wife worked at a local art store. She was a teacher. She did it for fun, a little extra pocket money. We took everything off my salary, no problem. We had things under control for the most part. She did that, didn't work many hours. Okay. She worked with this lady whose husband made mid upper six figures.
Wow.
Home, had the cars, had the furniture. And the only discretionary income they had to go to McDonald's was what she made. And trust me, they didn't make much. They did it because they loved art. Well, that's why my wife did it. But the only, so the appearance, you know, and I didn't know that was, they weren't somebody I was comparing to, but once again, it's the imagination versus the reality. And that's where we get trapped in these things. So now the question is, why me? Once again, I've been arrogant enough to take sections out of my book. Short version is, everyone will go through this. Sir, I'm not going to ask you, and I don't have to know you. I don't, you know, I can ask Debbie, but the fact is, I know you've gone through times where for you, that was a dark time. Doesn't matter how it matches or compares to my issues, to you, it was a dark time. You may want to try and avoid it, but we can't. Sometimes we walk into it. Sometimes we sit still and let it surround us. But it's still there. It's going to happen to you. So, and if you try and hide from it, it's still going to happen. Maybe not today, but then another day. But, and this is what comes down to this is, and I have talked to people who don't believe that they have their, but then when you ask them, yes, they do. And I've heard the phrasing, it's not fair throughout my life. Why me? Les Brown talks about this. He's a speaker. And he says, when people ask why me, he's like, well, why not you? You know? If I don't go through hard times, I want to wish it on Kathy. I'm going to pick on Kathy. Wish all my hard times on Kathy? That's not nice. That's not fair. You know? It doesn't change my situation. Everyone goes through it. And you could say why me all you want. It doesn't change the fact that we're there. Like I said, going through this is harder, and this is why we're learning how to do masterminds. I am not sure how to engage you guys on this, because to me, this stuff becomes very personal.
Mm-hmm.
It does. So as I'm giving this, I am actually trying to figure out, I've been thinking about this for a while, how do I engage, but there's a comfort level here. So I'm kind of going slow, but I'm not trying to pick on anybody because of this. Debbie, I kind of see you. I don't know if you're waving at me or raising your hand, Debbie. Oh, she's waving at me. Hi, Debbie.
Mason, my suggestion would be when you get to this point of your mastermind, to maybe prep everybody in the screen ahead, the slide ahead, and say, I'm going, if you, and maybe preface it this way, if you know, if you want to share, that's fine. If not, that's fine. But think of maybe one area of your life or one time in your life that you were feeling this way, and share with the group on how you got through that, how you came out the other side. And just, you know, see if they want to share a sentence or two. It doesn't have to be a big, long story. And in all of your masterminds, you'll have some talkers, and then you'll have some folks that are not, and they don't want to share, and that's fine. For some, they may still be in their dark forest, and they may not be able to see. Maybe that's why they tapped into your mastermind. And maybe something that someone else says will give them that hope or that light that they're looking for.
So, and I agree with that's good. It's interesting. I'm going to share this. So back in 17, I was let go from, I was actually scapegoated from a job. And I could prove that, but didn't change the fact that I was without a job. I was 50 years old, first time without a job. At that point, I found out that, guess what? I'm overqualified. Heard that so much. And it was a dark, it was an ugly time. Now, my daughter would have been 8-ish at the time. And of course, I had a son getting ready to be a senior year in high school. My oldest boy was, you know, he was already done with his master's, but he was staying with us for a while. And I was going through that. And when it first happened, I was real confident. But then about the 20th, you're overqualified response. But I did not outwardly let it bring me down. And I had to figure out why. And in fact, some people got upset with me because I wasn't sad and depressed and mopey around everybody. I had to figure out my reason on why I was going through this. I had two reasons. One, I wasn't going to turn into that person because of my daughter. My daughter had no idea what I was going through during that time because I wasn't going to go down that path. I remember telling friends of mine this, and they said, yeah, right, whatever. I said, okay, fine. If that's too rosy for you, if that's too unicorn and sunshine, I know the stats. Men, 4 times more likely to commit suicide. Factor in age, factor in job loss, that number goes up. I've lost a friend because he went there. My friend went there. Same situation. Different part of the country. We used to talk. He went into that forest. Couldn't find his way out. Never did come out. He's not with us. I've learned that lesson hard from him. So I found my reasons. And those are my reasons to keep going. I say this not about me, but when you go through these things, you need to figure out what your reasons are. It's not easy. It's not fun. It's not comfortable. And it has to be the things that you actually would say to yourself in a mirror. Not the things I'm going to say to Kathy or Linda or anybody else. It's what am I saying to myself when you go through these? So,
Mason, what comes to my mind is with you sharing that is that we really don't know in our daily travels what folks are experiencing. I mean, when we go to the restaurant, we don't know what that server has gone through that morning or that day or what's going on in her life or his life at that time. And we you know, the driver that cuts us off, we don't know what's happening in their world. Or, go to the bank teller and they're kind of short with us, you know, and we have no idea what's going on with them. But I think that if we think about our own lives at the times when we've had things happening, we would definitely like for somebody to show us a little bit of grace. So I enter my day every day and I tell myself I want to extend the grace that I would want someone to extend to me in all the situations that I might encounter for the day, that I want to always extend the grace that I would want someone to extend to me. And if I keep that in the front of my mind, it makes my day turn out so much better.
The thing is, don't forget to extend the grace to yourself. It is easier for me to extend grace to others than it is to myself. Okay. Don't forget to do that for yourself. You know, it is much easier for me to go, Kathy, I got you, than it is for me to say, Mason, you got this. Mm-hmm. Much easier. So
I just wanted to comment. I agree, Kathy, with what you said. There's a saying out there that goes something like, the people we encounter are carrying burdens we know nothing of. And so even if they look neutral or if they're putting on a brave face or whatever, you don't know. I actually needed to run an errand this morning, before this meeting. And as I was getting ready to turn my car on to leave, a woman pulled in alongside me and was getting ready to get out, and our eyes met, and I just gave her a smile, and it was like a little bit of a surprise to her, but she was grateful and smiled back. And you just don't know what that could do for somebody's day, you know, instead of ignoring a stranger, just give them a smile.
We did school shopping with my daughter this week, and went into American Eagle. As you walk in, you know, the door's in front of you, and they were in there doing their thing. I'm kind of waiting outside. And I had to go in for something. They called me for something. And I go in, and I notice there's a young lady, one of the associates, off to the left. She said, just frantically type. It happens. Whatever. But as I'm coming out, she's now on the other side, kind of hiding behind some things. And her body language told me something was wrong. And she had tears in her eyes. And I said, like, are you okay? Said, I'll be okay. I said, well, just make sure you take care of yourself. So I go back out. I'm waiting out in the aisle, you know, because my wife and daughter are still shopping in there. They called me back in again to look at some. So I go back in, and I'm coming out. Same girl's there on the side. And she had her hand in her phone in her hand. She's still upset. And I walked up and said, you know what? I said, I don't know this girl. She doesn't know me. I said, you should shut your phone off. There's absolutely nothing on there right now you need. Okay. Go take some breaths and realize conversations aren't meant to be having text messages. Just shut the phone off for a little while. And it was interesting, the change in her body language when I said, shut your phone off. Conversations are not meant to be had via text. And I'm just trying to be nice, you know, because whatever it was, and it's, you know, teenage angst, whatever, they have these conversations on the phone. And yes, I'm being generational here. Sorry. Yeah. Shut your phone off. And a conversation is not meant to be had via text message. And it was just interesting her body language to change when I did that. Trying to help someone else. You're right. Try and help someone else. But, and that's crucial. But the important part of this, and I'll keep going back to it, is we've got to give ourselves that same grace. It's hard. It's hard. And I will speak from a sexist male stereotype. That is not we are taught. That is not what I was taught growing up. That is not what I was taught in the military. That's not what I've been taught in industry. You know what? I was taught a lot of wrong lessons.
Well, Mason, am I correct that oftentimes the male species has this innate thinking process that they just need to fix it? You know, if there's something wrong, you just want to fix it. And I think that's more of a guy thing than a girl thing. But because I have been a business owner all my life, and because I've sat at the top of whatever business I had created, the buck stops with me, and I had to take on that mindset of I have to fix it. And so when I first got into real estate investing, I made myself a mess because every time a tenant would, you know, say the grass was the wrong height, I immediately felt like, oh my gosh, I got to fix it like right now. And I had to realize that very few things are actually an emergency. When it comes to real estate, unless there's water coming through the ceiling or there's a fire, it's generally not an emergency. And as long as I let the tenant know that it's on the maintenance list and you know, we're going to put it on the list and our guy will get out to you, they're good for another 2 or 3 days because they know that they've now reported it and I've, you know, acknowledged it and it's going to get fixed. I've realized that in my own life, very few things are actually an emergency. And I don't have to like fix them by 9 o'clock tonight. And I think that was probably a big aha moment for me, was realizing that all I had to do was adjust my path or adjust my thinking or adjust my decision making or adjust my decisions, and that it was going to have a better outcome. And I didn't have to like totally fix it by 9 p.m. And I think that was probably the biggest aha for me.
You're kind of being fixers is true. And what's interesting is we hear the talk about, men are 4 times more likely to commit suicide. That's not a true statement. The actual statement is this: if you looked at the numbers, men and women will attempt very similar percentages, sadly. Attempt. Men, though, know they have to complete something or else. That is why the number for them completing is so much higher. This drive that we have to get something done that we've taught, the attempts, the percentages are much closer. And I don't know the numbers, I forget the numbers off the top of my head. I was really surprised when I read this not too long ago. But men are more likely to complete because that's what we are driven to do for whatever various reasons. Once again, I say that it's so when you get to these sections, when you get to these times, you have to step back. And it's hard because we don't want to, many men don't want to do that, But that's why I want them to recognize everyone's going to go through this and you're going to make this. The fact is, how do you get out of it? It's not a meme. It's one step at a time. One small, tiny step at a time. Asking for help indicates strength. And this one, and I wrote this for a reason, not just a meme, but it's a fact you've survived 100% of your tough times. Period. You have, you're here. You're talking to me, so I know you survived 100% of your tough times. And yours may be different than mine, but to you, they were still tough times. And sometimes you have, that's all you have to remember. Sometimes that may be all you have to go on. Because everything else around you is on fire with an earthquake, being sprayed with a fire hose. but I've made it to this point. I can do another step. So a few years ago, I discovered this about the Arctic and Sugi. We see these, I see memes like this. It's actually an art form in Japan. They take broken objects, they seal them with gold because they value history, ancient things. Okay. Ancient things are to be revered. So they take this and they repair it. And it's a mindset. It's a philosophy. As much as it is an art form, it is an art form. It's a mindset. It's a philosophy. Okay. And I've always really, really liked that, you know, the Kintsugi image in my head. So. And that is actually about the cover material. I try to keep this thing around 45 minutes or so. It's been our conversations, like I said, working on how to draw out this topic. It's hard to say, Debbie, tell me a tough time you've been through, when by definition, it's a tough time and you probably don't want to share it. So I just want to spark thoughts in people. So if I can, like I said, at the end, I'll get everybody's emails. One of the things I liked, let me stop sharing for a second. So I'm going to share a poem with you. If I can find it, there it is. Love this poem. Do not go gentle into that good night. This is a story about fighting to move forward. If you're not familiar with it, I'm going to send you a copy, because this is a poem about moving forward. What it is. And then the other thing I'm going to show this to Samarith, is I'm going to be sending, let's see, in the next section of copy, what I call power thoughts, if I can find them.
Well, Mason, while you're looking for those, I want to ask the group, while he's pulling that up, think about how Mason did with this challenge today, and think about what comments, what feedback you want to give him once he's finished here. So Mason, go ahead.
So can you guys see where it says rocks in your shoe?
Uh-huh.
There's actually two sections of quotes I'm going to send you. I combined them to Dark Forest. Rocks your shoe refers to basically things are going to help stumble you along the way. They're going to cause pain, but keep going forward. I love this quote by, once again, I'm a quotes guy, because it just tells me I'm not alone in my thinking. It's Muhammad Ali. I mean, please. Not the mountain ahead to climb that wears you out. It's a pebble in your shoe. Any of you ever marched, or I know Kathy does a lot of walking. You know, I did some marching in the military. That one tiny pebble, oh my gosh, it makes you want to stop, puts you in pain, but you got to keep going. So, and that. So that's what I have. And I'm going to also send you some questions. I'll send out some questions for you guys to ponder. Once again, they'll be in a format. They're meant to be printed. You can either do them as a journal or electronically. I like things electronic to type in. But my intent is to ask you some questions just for you to ponder yourself. Share them with anybody. To ponder yourself. And then our fourth session will be, I guess I can't do that. There it is. And then next time we'll see in September, we're going to talk about something actually is interesting, called your traveling group. So something we all have, even though we may not realize it. And the impact they have on you, whether you recognize it or not, big and small. Here we go. After 11, yes.
All right, perfect. Mason, thank you. I loved it. I loved it. Thank you so much. The only suggestion that I'll have, and just going forward for all of us, no matter what it is you're going to do on a Zoom call, is to collaborate with someone to be your co-host or co-mod. That second person is very helpful for several reasons. If you get bumped off the call, they can let you back in is the main one. But because that does happen on Zoom from time to time. But also it's someone that you can call on that you know has your back and whatever your material is. So as you're presenting and you need to take a breather for whatever reason, you've got something going on behind you that you have to take care of, or you have like Mason, where you're wanting to get conversation going. If you have a co-host or a co-mod, you can always call on them to keep the conversation going. Because I don't know about you, but if you are an introvert, sometimes you have something to say, but you're formulating it in your mind on how you want to say it or when you want to say it. And sometimes a facilitator or moderator moves on too quickly and you didn't get the opportunity, even though you would have said something had they given a little more space for you to jump in there. And so not everyone thinks and talks the same. And having that co-host or co-mod gives you a space where you can have some one-on-one conversation and allow other folks to kind of think about how they want to participate. So hopefully that's helpful. But that's my suggestion for Mason today. Anyone else have a suggestion for Mason or an insight or kudos or thoughts? Anything at all? Comments?
I'll go next. Mason, I can see why you felt this particular class was creating a dark zone for us to ponder, and you succeeded in doing that today. And I actually, at the very end, when you said, I have survived 100% of my tough times, that hit me as how true. It's so true. And you think to yourself, why didn't I know that? Why didn't I realize this main thing in my day-to-day life that I've overcome it? I survived. I didn't fall in the trap like they always say. You know, when you grow up with this, then you stay in that path and you don't get out. But I did, and so many other people did. Thank you very much for this. This was really, really very good today.
I appreciate that.
Perfect. Thank you, Debbie. Anyone else?
Yeah, I would like to thank Mason for telling his story. I actually kind of introvert, and I'm kind of shy just naturally. And I've gone through a lot of things too, like maybe comparable to Mason, and if not more. But the thing is, I'm kind of shy to share because it's embarrassing and it's almost like unbelievable when I tell my stories. And so after I done so many times, most like half believe it and half, you know, don't. And it's just nice to hear that there are other people who are willing to share and teach the rest of us to be more open. And yeah, I would like to learn more about particularly this group. And but the thing is, over the years, I've learned how to be more of a listener rather than a talker. But even though I need to work more on my speaking, in terms of sharing my story and see what lessons that others can learn from me. That's why I'm also like joining Toastmasters in the coming future, just to be able to articulate my story, my about myself, and see if I can help others. And I wouldn't mind doing a one-on-one with Mason because we live close together. And Kathy, you have a very inspirational stories as well, because I actually want to my passion is to be an entrepreneur and solo entrepreneur and help others. Because I mean, look at the fact. I just want to finish with this. I mean, I'm 49 years old, so if I were to accumulate wealth now until my time when I pass away, now whether I'm going to heaven or hell, it doesn't matter because I'm leaving all that money and wealth, all that behind. So that's kind of what I say right now. So I kind of want to help anybody else out as much as I can during my living years. So those are my thoughts.
I'll reach out to you after this.
Okay.
Right now, believe it or not, I am still extremely uncomfortable. My
Okay.
stomach is in knots. It's only because I forced myself and I have learned on what I can and cannot be vulnerable with. It happens. Like I said, I'm a writer and I write, like for example, I write for work. Yeah, we have a newsletter and they always want work. But I don't write business stuff. I can, but I don't find that as exciting to me and interesting. I write personal stuff. I write stuff that's going to ask you questions or make you ask questions. And here's what I found. And I didn't intend this, I just stumbled on it. I just wrote what I wanted to write. The more vulnerable I got, or the more I was willing to show someone they could be vulnerable, or show them to other people be vulnerable, the more people reached out to me, the more people connected. I did a couple articles on customer service and leadership, and whatever. I did a few articles on connecting with people, recognize your inner value. And I have people reaching out to me, and this was not my intent, and this is not an ego statement, this is a surprise statement. The more vulnerable you are, it's a way of connecting. The normal, what we do in this group is Maxwell's book about connecting. And for me, I know the mistakes I've made. Okay. I know. And I know I'm very, very self-aware. So I've learned that sometimes by just sharing certain things about me, it helps me make a connection. And then depending on the person, you can go farther. But that takes practice and it is not easy. So I feel for you. I do. I really do. I am uncomfortable in small groups. Put me in a group of 200 people. Let me talk. Yeah. Because I don't have to talk to anyone. I don't talk to the group. Comfortable. I'm isolated. There's a distance. In this group, I got to connect. It is not comfortable. It is okay to feel that way. And I personally hope I never lose that. In fact, I've had a friend tell me, if you're uncomfortable, you must be doing something right. You know? No, he's if you're uncomfortable, you're doing something right because you're getting out of your comfort zone. And it's true. Because if I get comfortable, I'm going to get complacent. And that's, and then become plastic like everybody else. Hey, let's do lunch, yada, yada, yada. Who cares? We have enough of those people. So,
Yeah,
but
well,
I'll
the
definitely
thing,
reach out and set up a time again.
yeah, see, the thing is, the reason why I don't want to talk about myself a lot, especially like exposing my weaknesses, I'm just afraid that people use my weaknesses against me. I don't even feel comfortable even telling my therapist sometimes.
Yep, that's
Well,
tough.
I have a solution for that, Samarth, and Mason, this is helpful for you too. And I know Linda and Debbie has heard my presentation, but I go through a presentation where I teach you how to write your hero's journey. And I have those prompts, and I would be happy to share those with you. And what it is with your hero's journey, it's like once upon a time I was here, and then I struggled, and then I had an aha moment, and then I made some decisions, but then it all came falling apart, and then I picked up the pieces and I learned more, and now I want to help you. And so here is what I'm putting together so that I can help you overcome some of those objections. And so it's the hero's journey. And there's actual prompts that will help you write your own hero's journey. And your storytelling, which is your story, Mason, your story, and Samarth, your story, and Linda's story, and Debbie's story. When you get right to the heart of the matter, That is your marketing. People will connect with you when they hear your story because they'll say, he gets me. She understands what I've gone through. This is the person that I want to work with because they get me. And so that's where our story is the cornerstone of our business. It doesn't matter what you're selling. Does not matter what you're selling. It is your story is the cornerstone of your business. And so anyway, connect. It's under Build a Better Business, by the way. If you go to KathyBenner.com and look up Build a Better Business, we go through that whole program. So just keep that in mind. So we want to get back to Mason, though. Linda, do you have any comments for Mason?
Yes, I thought, Mason, you did a really great job. And as we've all discussed today and other days, the vulnerability piece is a real struggle. And yet it seems that the rewards of really connecting are on the other side of reaching out in that way. So thanks for doing what you did, even though your stomach was in knots. And forgive me one moment. My phone is reminding me that I have to leave for an appointment. Your slides were wonderful. The message, the continuity of it. And thank you for being respectful of the fact that, yeah, we're talking about hard times and dark times, and maybe not everybody's ready to just pull that out and put it out into the middle of the room. So that was great the way you handled that as well.
I love it. Mason, how do you feel about being on the other side now of this particular episode?
I'm enjoying this, but like you said, this to me is, in addition to the fact that I have a few beta readers, it's giving me some experience in talking about this material. I wrote it, but now it's presenting it, and now it's stepping back to think about it. And what's really funny is those two slides with that section of my book, I actually made some corrections this morning. It's like, well, I shouldn't word it that way. I literally made it.
I love it.
Making connections, that's how, or making corrections. So anyway.
I was just thinking, you wrote it in the book, you've thought about it and all of that, but now that you're doing it in the group, now it's really real.
Frighteningly so.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be following in your footsteps, Mason. So, yeah. So thank you for forging the way for the rest of us. I love it. Samrith, thank you so much for being on with us today. We're glad that you tapped in. We hope that you join us again next month. Mm-hmm. We love having you here. And again, as you can see, it's a small, intimate group. So we're not too scary, I hope. And yeah. Linda, thank you for tapping in. And Debbie, as usual, Debbie's my cohort in crime. She's with me on most of my groups, as is Linda. And so, we'll go through all the series together. So thank you so much for being here, everyone. Yeah. So okay. With that, I see that there are some connections in the chat, and get my mouse over here where I can read them. So we have KathyBenner.com. We have Mason. He has his email address there, his Yahoo address. Linda at Legacy of Love Project. Samrith put his email in there. And Debbie, did you want to put yours in? That way we have contact information for everyone. And Linda, do you have a mastermind launching soon?
Yeah, I plan to start it after Labor Day.
Okay.
And then it'll lead into the launch of actually not one, but possibly two courses.
And, okay.
This is the thinking. Do it on access to digital assets, but have it toward regular people because we all have assets. But a second challenge, almost identical for content creators, coaches, and influencers. And each mastermind would point toward a different actual course. more fine-tuned. The longer one for what we all need for getting all of our details in order, but maybe a shorter one toward content creators to help them get things tightened up so that they aren't in danger of losing it, all their content for whatever reason.
Good idea. Good idea. And on a side note, Linda, did you have, I wanted to ask you this next time I saw you, did you have a little password wallet link that is an affiliate for you that you're offering?
Yeah. I don't know if I have it that I could put in the chat here, but I can get that.
Yeah. If you could text that or send that to me, I'm ready to click through on something like that. So thank you for that.
That would be great.
Yep. And Debbie put her contact information in there. Debbie, you have your fireside chat with Debbie Marks the third, am I correct? The third Friday at one? Second Friday at one, mm-hmm. Called Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks. You can find her on meetup.com. And for me, if you just go to kathybenner.com and scroll down to the calendar of events, it's easier to find me that way than it is for me. Yes, Debbie's the second Friday. That's easier to find me just under kathybenner.com and scroll down to the calendar, and you'll see all of our events. They're all listed there on a calendar format. So that's the easy way to find my events. And Mason will be back with us again next month. And your date again next month is going to be
22nd, I believe.
September 22nd, yes. And that will be his session 4 out of 5. So looking forward to that.
Okay.
Samrith, do you have anything that's coming up that we can support you?
No, I'm actually kind of launching my financial brokerage business again, but this time I'm out full all out, and I just need clients, and I just need to get my website together, a new website, and that's kind of
okay. You've got to tap in to build a better business. That's
okay.
We can help you out there. And then also my Happy House Hunters group, I can actually introduce you, especially since you're in Columbus, Ohio, I can introduce you to some live in-person meetups all around the city. Yes.
Okay. That'll work. Yep.
So definitely connect with me.
Okay. Got it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. This has been great. And we will see everyone next time.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.